Hey, I'm Zale, host of Preconceived, a podcast that challenges the preconceptions that shape how we view the world. Preconceived examines both our approach to major life choices, but also our perspectives on issues to which we may have been overly conditioned towards certain opinions. Each episode features a different topic, with experts, researchers, and luminaries in their respective fields. We think you will especially enjoy recent episodes on polyamory, regretting parenthood, dopamine nation, and myths of the beauty industry. Find Preconceived wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, baby.
Hello.
Do you hear the resonance in my voice?
Yep, I do.
You weren't listening for that.
You're all warmed up, are you?
I did a really long warm up yesterday, and then we ended up not recording. But I think it kind of carried over into today. I did like an hour of voice work yesterday.
Your voice is all warmed up. Your camera certainly isn't.
Why?
Look how garbage you look.
What's going on?
You're coming through like 220p.
What's happening?
Hey, folks, if you want to support the podcast and see how shitty Bridie's camera is, head on over to patreon.com/turnmeon. Become a $5 patron or more. And you can see us. You can see me nice and clear.
Help me buy a new fucking camera, apparently. What's going on with my camera, Jeremy?
I don't know. I do not know.
I rely on you. I rely on you for these things.
Thankfully, the majority of our listeners are listeners, so they don't have to deal with the visual. how are you, babe?
I am in a constant flux. Mm-hmm. How about you?
Yeah. You know, so let's get this right off the bat. Starting with just the tips, all right? Our just the tips for this week is when you're done listening to this or watching this over on Patreon, go to Netflix, sit down, and watch the Bo Burnham special Inside. Holy shit, what a piece of artwork. I've never watched something that simultaneously made me giggle and laugh with such like joy, yet at the same time make me feel so validated in all of the horrible, heavy, weighted feelings that I've had over the last year and a half because of this pandemic. It truly like that that special, it's unlike anything I've ever watched. And if you don't like Bo Burnham, if you're not a fan of Bo Burnham and his comedy, still worth going to check out because it is such a, it's like a, it is, I think I said this to you yesterday, Bride, like when this all started, I remember thinking I'm curious to see how this is going to affect art and like what kind of art we'll see come from this pandemic. And this is a perfect example of like art that has been born from the pandemic. And it's something that I will go back and watch time and time and time again to like relive. I know this sounds fucked up, but like relive, like when things are back to normal and everyone's vaxxed and we are like back to a normal life, I'm going to go back and watch Inside by Bo Burnham to like remind myself of how hard it was in this very cathartic and like beautiful way, because it, man, what a fucking masterpiece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel so good. I feel I was really impressed by it as well. Yeah. And it's like, I already think he's extremely talented.
Yeah.
Just like anybody who can put together their thoughts and comedically into a musical performance is like so mind blowing to me, the talent. And yeah, I was really definitely affected by it as well. I have no intention of going back to like a normal life. But it also validates that.
I think we will. I got my first prick yesterday. They stuck the needle right through her eyeball, and is one of the earlier tattoos I've gotten by a lovely tattoo artist here in Halifax, Charlotte, Jin Wolf on Instagram, if you want to check out her work. They stuck it right into her fucking eyeball. And I've never been more happy to get a vaccine. Vaxxed, waxed, ready to fuck is what I am feeling right now.
Okay. You're waxed? Who waxed you? Did you get waxed?
No, but
did you wax yourself?
No. I don't have the balls to wax myself.
To wax your balls?
I literally don't have the balls to wax.
Yeah.
It's not enough hair on my balls to wax them.
I think I meant something a little different about not going back to normal, but we don't really have to get into that. I feel, you know, maybe someone out there can tell me that this, you know, all has to do with the planets or something, but I feel really like
it doesn't though.
Like, I feel like I'm outside. I'm having like an out of body experience, but it's not out of body. It's out of like structure and looking at like in quotations, like society and basically just what we've built as human beings for the last like several hundred years. And, you know, and this sort of level of greed that's gotten us so removed from in actually enjoying our lives, because now we have to work so hard and we're so removed from the product of our efforts that we become this like very, I don't know. I think it's a very depressive, like depressing work state. Whereas like, you know, not to idealize or romanticize some other time when things were better, but it seems to me like the only worthy outlet for my energy and effort in terms of like what I would typically put into a job is just to go directly to producing my own things that I need, whether it's like food or clothes or like the things that I would normally have to like go to some job so that I could get this clothing thing. Is it seems like a very, it seems like a system that was designed to like basically enslave people.
Folks, here we go. Brady's saying it right here. She is going to going to the earth. She's gonna go live in the woods and hunt and weave her clothing. Going back to the old 1200th century.
I need at least a couple hundred of you to join our Patreon.
Yeah, right. Well, hey, speaking of Patreon and lifting things up, We got a lovely letter from a listener and a patron. This actually came from one of our newer patrons, Sophie. A lovely letter that I thought would be fun to read right off the top of this week's episode.
Awesome.
Sophie, first of all, thank you for your patronage. It means a lot. And thank you for this letter. Hi, Bridie and Jeremy. Currently, I am still living about 3 years into the past for you guys. I am at episode 60, the episode about incest and whether it should be approved or not. I don't remember that episode. I don't remember if we were
that
like...
That was the episode that went missing for a minute. Remember?
Yeah, I do remember that. I don't remember if it was an episode that we were like, should incest be approved or not? But maybe I'll have to go back and listen to that. She goes on to say, I was surprised to hear that Belgium has no qualms about it. So I talked to my best friend about it, who I assume is living in Belgium. I also think Sophie might be from away.
Belgium?
Maybe. She apparently knows a couple who are blood related, niece and nephew. So she has had some additional insight. Belgium law states that they can indeed be a married couple, but they can't have kids. So apparently we disapprove only from a genetic point of view. So they have adopted 3 kids because they shared the same concerns as the Belgian law. And adoptions is apparently also not a problem. The things you know, right? She then goes on to say, I also want to share a little story inspired by the husband who jerks off in the shower and yells bingo at his wife when he comes. and for reference, this is from episode 59. She says, once upon a time, I had a little conversation with my then girlfriend about orgasms because we used to play a game, quote, how high can we go? As in number of orgasms in a day. We were young, okay? One day she turned to me and said, quote, I find it very difficult to tell when you are having a vaginal orgasm because I see that you like what I'm doing, but you just seem to keep going until I stop or you stop me. So I replied, quote, true enough. Next time I will tell you. Fast forward to the next time we were making fuck. When I came, I yelled out, now, which was of course followed by don't stop because she was laughed her ass off at me because I'm actually that. Okay. So this is where I think she's from away. I'm going to read as it's written here because she was laughed at her ass off at me because I actually thought about it during an orgasm. I also need to give this story a, quote, don't try this at home label, unless you want your partner to become a master slash mistress of edging. Haha. Just thought you would enjoy this little nugget, and I think it fits with Jeremy's yes and technique. Hee hee. Take care. Kisses, Sophie. Well, thank you, Sophie.
We love your letter, Sophie. I didn't read that one. I didn't see that one come in.
Hot off the press.
I saw the first.
Hot off the press
fantastic.
This morning. Yeah, yeah. Followed by another letter that gives a big bio of who Sophie is. So Sophie, thank you. We're so glad that you've joined our little community here, and we hope you're watching this foreplay, which you can find on Patreon.
And I want to actually just share one thing also from Sophie's first message. She mentioned that she talks about this podcast with all of her friends and it's like pushing it towards them. So I wanted to put it out there because I know some people don't have the dollars to support the content that they want to have continued created. So I just want to say that sharing the good news of Turn Me On is also incredibly helpful and appreciated by us. Yeah. And it's one of those unsung things that gets done, and I want to acknowledge it.
Moving along, Bride, there was another email that I received this morning that I want to get your take on. This is so fucked. This was actually an email that was sent to Sick Boy, but I don't think it really fits for Sick Boy. It definitely has room here.
Okay.
Someone emailed this Kijiji ad that they found, and they wanted our take on it on Sick Boy. So we're going to, this is for Carrie. Carrie, we're going to give our take on it here on Turn Me On. The Kijiji ad is from PEI. It says free room and board for female only. Okay. Here's the Jesus Christ. Here's the description. I will be returning to PEI for 1st of July for health reasons. As a result, I will not be sharing my personal information in the ad. That will only be given to potential candidates. There's a fucking red flag right there. I am a male seeking a female roommate as I have a deep mistrust for men. I am offering free room, free utilities, and half of the grocery bills for the right person. At this point, I'm certain that you're wondering, what's the catch? As you should be. There is a catch. A rather big one. There are no visitors allowed at the house. Sorry. And you will be required to spend 3 hours per day with me. This can be spent chatting, watching TV and movies, playing board games, etc. And since I like boobs, you must be topless. No sex is required. Just toplessness because breasts are amazing. I mean, I'm not going to argue with that. Breasts are great. But
dude, I need a place on PEI for the month of July.
Well, please reply with pertinent information such as your name, age, interests, job, or the school you're attending, and a picture of yourself. No negative messages, please. If you're not interested, I completely understand. This is a weird request under weird circumstances, but it's also a great opportunity to save a pile of money for the right person. Now, when I read that, it immediately reminded me of this song from Barb and Star Go to Vista Del Mar, a movie that I can't say is like 10 out of 10, but definitely made me chuckle. And here's the song right now. I'm going to do that again because I fucked up the audio there. So here we go. Here's the song.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Richard Cheese. What I really, really love when I look around this place is all the sets of boobies, and I want them in my face. Hello, boobies. I love boobies. I love gazongas. I love knockers and chimichangas. I love melons and bonbons and Winnebagos. I'll take a big chest of shirt potatoes because I love boobs. Thank you.
So if you
love that song.
It's a great song, right? And that movie, if you're a fan of Kristen Wiig, you got to watch it. It's
okay.
It has some very, very out loud laughable moments. But it's I give it like a six, like a strong 7 out of 10.
Okay.
But what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on this Kijiji ad, Brad?
At first I thought you were going to read, because I've been binging Friends. I thought you were going to read, Joey's ad for a roommate. When Chandler moves in with Monica, he puts an ad, Joey puts an ad in the paper looking for a roommate.
No.
And,
how many times have we gone through this? I don't watch Friends.
Okay. Well,
you do. You're on this hardcore
bananas.
Friends binge.
Get on it.
No.
The whole world is on it. Malala is on it.
Don't care. Don't care.
Okay. Well, yeah. Anyway, so he puts an ad in the paper and it says wanted female roommate, non-smoker, non-ugly.
Oh my God. Jesus Christ. Okay.
I know.
Look, I want to say this. I want to preface this because although like, yes, we're laughing and having fun and whatever. Definitely for sure. Huge reason right here to like, this is so predatorial and so I just finished watching, we're just talking about all the shit we're watching. I guess that's all the show's turned into, is the recommendation of what we like watching on TV now. I just finished the first season of, Mayor of Easttown.
Mm.
And man, this ad gives off fucking massive vibes of, hey, come to this home where you will never be seen from again. You know what I mean? So like,
right.
Like I know.
Well, let's assume that this person's intent, because I read, I was like, well, I mean, for the right person, That's a great opportunity.
No, but
when you called it predatory, I was like, oh yeah, because for sure some people are only gonna, who are just like in a tight spot, would do it.
Yeah.
But this seems to me like a fair exchange for my energy to sit around right. with my boobs out for 3 hours.
Sure.
But right. I could see maybe perhaps not for someone else. Like, I think I'd be quite good at that job. You know,
sure.
just
yeah, sure. If you yeah, know? if it didn't also include being chained up and locked in a small room and given food once a day, and never okay. seeing the light of day again.
So instead of tearing this person a new butthole for posting this ad,
I'm not tearing them a new butthole. I am just saying, this ad reeks of kidnapping, and sexual enslavement.
Yeah. Okay.
It really does.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's mistrust.
You're right. You're not wrong.
This guy's mistrust in men. Mm-hmm. This ad makes me mistrust that man.
Okay. I totally get where you're coming from.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to validate you and acknowledge your feelings as being totally valid. But let's just play devil's advocate here that his intentions are actually, this is what I hear when I read this. A lonely man
who has
some trauma.
Yeah.
Who is sick, who wants a kind of companionship that comes easily, that comes with very clear strings attached. Doesn't have to be sex, but here is like, here are the parameters of what he wants to deal with his life as it is right now. And let's imagine that he's hoping that this person is, as you know, capable of making the right decisions for themselves and seeing this as an opportunity that's appropriate and not, and doesn't want to take advantage of someone. Let's assume that they're going to do a screening process where they weed those people out and they find someone, not me, but like me, who is actually just thinks it could be maybe a good fit.
Sure.
You know? All right. What should they have sent in the ad to not raise so many red flags?
I think they're posting their ad at the wrong place.
On Kijiji?
Yeah, I don't think that's the place to be posting that ad.
Where do you post these? Like, where does this person get connected with what
fucking
they want?
Fucking back pages? I don't know, dude. I don't know. But it's not Kijiji. Like,
right.
Like this... this ad is not for the general public.
Backpages doesn't exist anymore.
I know, but like something like that, you know, like.
Well, this isn't it. This is a real situation because this borders on sex work. It is, you know, by all accounts, and you know, you're an escort here. You're a companion
for sure
in a sexualized way.
Yep.
Where does this person advertise? Because there is no back pages anymore. And that would be probably, you know, unfortunately the most, it got shut down because people were like, this, we can't
I know
hold
where.
Space for this in the internet,
I
on
know
the internet.
Where.
FetLife?
It's no, not FetLife. That fucking, Sugar Mama app.
What was that called?
What was that called again? I forget the name of it.
Sugar Daddy.
Dude, we did a whole fucking episode about
it. I think it was just called, Seeking Arrangements.
Seeking Arrangements. There you go.
That's the place for that.
Yeah, I think that's
Let's.
It's more so there.
I'm going to see if I can find this person's ad on Kijiji and send them the Seeking Arrangement.
No, don't.
Situation.
Jesus Christ,
why?
Don't. why? Bridie, look, I got to say. I
have two emails to send today.
I love
one to this guy and sending him the Seeking Arrangements app and saying, I think
don't send
your
that.
Content is a little more appropriate for here.
No, don't send
because
that.
This is how people. And then the other email is, well, okay, why not? Why not send that?
Okay, here's why. Look, one of the things that I do love about you so much is your constant ability to see the silver lining and things and to give people the benefit of the doubt. But I think that that's, I think that that comes with that, that comes with a, you know, that can bite you in the ass every once in a while. And so because there is a chance that this is a sneaky way for someone to put an ad out there to find a victim. So my reasoning of not sending this person another option for a place to fucking put this ad is to avoid someone becoming really abused and hurt. That's the thing, right? It's like, this is as...
But let's say he goes and he posts it on Seeking Arrangements. There, you're going through a... Let's say he goes, oh, you're right, I'll take those off Kijiji, I'll put it on Seeking Arrangements. There, people are visiting.
Yes, but that... So again, that is assuming that he doesn't have evil ulterior motives. There's too many red flags in this fucking ad, you know? And also, this isn't like, this is not, there was recently in the past few years, there was a guy in New Brunswick who was arrested for trying to lure females to his apartment with a seeking female roommate ad. Where he was like, you know, he was posting posting as a girl, as a woman, asking them to show up alone, right? So, like, this is what I'm saying is like, there's
precedent look, for this being a
if you're someone who's like, I need a place to live and I need a place to live like rent free and this sounds awesome, the stakes are just too high. I think it's like, you know, again, it's just like, it's red flag central. I don't know. Maybe maybe putting this conversation out on the podcast is just problematic in the first place.
Why?
I don't know. I'm not really sure. I don't know.
Doesn't Bo Burnham have a song about being problematic in his new special?
Yeah, it was. I think it was titled. The song was titled "White Woman's Instagram."
Okay, you know what? This is a good example in real time of why it's good to sit with things, because when I first heard that ad, I was like, hey,
sign me up.
Yeah. Sounds like a good deal.
Yeah.
But I'm willing to trade my boobs for almost anything. So, free rent or.
And fair enough. Fair enough. And hey folks, listen, you heard it here. Bride's looking for a place on PEI. So if you are not a sex criminal and you're looking to fill a space in your home with a woman.
An aspiring sex criminal?
Yeah, an aspiring sex criminal. Fuck, poor person. All right, well, let's that was fun and
potentially problematic.
Audio here. Fuck's sakes. Here, give me a sec, Brady. Oh, there we go. Sorry about that, folks. Let's push right into this week's episode. I gotta say, Frenchie, this week's guest. Fuck, I love this conversation. It's such a unique take on sex and sexuality, and like, and I mean that from, I mean that in the sense that it's rare that we get to talk to people about how sex fits within their life in terms of like spirituality and religion. Spirituality, we kind of touch on that, you know, we've gone down that road a bunch with lots of people, but this is like more so tied into religion. And I know that Frenchie uses spirituality more than religion, but I fucking love this episode. I love Frenchie's take on sex in the church. I gotta say this. There were moments in the conversation where I was thinking about like the Catholic Church and the problems within the Catholic Church when it comes to sex, specifically around boys and young boys. But this is not that. We're not even going down that road. Mm-mm. This is about consensual sex between adults within the church. And the problematic, the sort of problematic views that sex, the problematic lens that sex has been seen through the church for eons. And Frenchie's take on this is just so fucking cool. And I love just picking her brain about everything that she had to talk about. This is one of those episodes where I've been like very excited to get out to you, our listeners.
Mm. Yeah, we have a few of those in the pipeline, but I feel that way too about this conversation. It's so unique and also just as unique. It's so nice because we talk to a lot of sexologists and sexual educators, and it seems like there's a lot more in the sphere of sexuality these days. So when you meet someone like Frenchie, who's kind of been in it for a long time and has really developed an approach and a philosophy and like a lot of really just like important work in the field, in her field, you're like, okay, this is what it is to have the authentic presentation of sexual health from a human being. So enjoy this conversation. We're both obviously very excited for you to hear it.
Yeah. And again, thank you to all of our patrons. We say it every week. You really do keep the show running. If you want to support the podcast and you've been listening for a long time, do it now. Now is a better time than ever. Go to patreon.com/turnmeon. It would mean the world to us. And you can watch our foreplay episodes. Watch Bridie and I just shoot the shit.
Oh, I was just going to say, and whether you sign up today or you're waiting to hear our announcement regarding our Patreon, which we've got some cool stuff in the pipeline, you're going to benefit whether you sign up today or whether you sign up next week. So if you have a moment right now, free hand, open up a new tab on your browser and go visit us at turnmeon.com. Nope. Patreon.com/turnmeon. Or turnmeonpodcast.com.
Yep.
Support us.
Yeah, that's it too. Yeah.
Find us there.
All right, folks. This is our conversation with Frenchie. We hope you enjoy it. And as always, we will see you on the other side. I don't even know. I don't even know where we're going to be taking this today. I have a vague idea. I thought I heard something yesterday, Bridie, about like sex and religion, perhaps.
We might. Yeah, which we might go there.
Those are two things that I'm definitely fascinated in, and have very different feelings towards each of those things individually. there was another thing that you had mentioned yesterday, Bride, that piqued my interest, and I had a note somewhere, but I forget what it was, what the phrase was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
could that be religious misogyny?
That was it. Religious misogyny. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay. Now we're rolling.
The Pope keeps it sexy. I should just say that.
Okay. So we're talking to Frenchie today, and Bridie, you lay out the land. What are we walking into here?
Well, I had the pleasure of speaking with Frenchie, I guess it was a couple weeks ago now, in preparation for this conversation. But my original discovery of Frenchie online originated with a video, honestly, that captured my attention right away. I heard you ask Frenchie, is there a place for sluts in the church? And it was a video on an old... defunct organization that was called Libido Talk. Is that correct?
That's my former company. That was the title. And so I've just done some rebranding, because sometimes you just have to rebrand your work. Libido Talk was started, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago. And, and then, you know, in this modern era, you grow, you evolve, and I'm doing a lot more work with a lot of more government agencies who be like, she said libido. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can't use those clinical words.
The L word.
That
yes.
shit scares the hell out of us. And I was like, oh my gosh, like we can't use the clinical terms. We can't use the naughty terms. You know, it's just like those parents that are still calling their daughter's vaginas poo-poos. You know, it's just it's quite interesting. And so, you know, I had to evaluate, you know, as I'm growing, what does it take to grow? And part of that was just rebranding.
Yeah. Well, what caught my attention about that was just this, you know, I grew up in the church and I have like the same sort of complicated relationship to my spirituality and my faith that I think a lot of people who grew up in the church come into at some point in their adulthood, especially it seems inflammatory around sexuality. And maybe not everybody feels that way about their religion, but when I heard that on the airwaves, and you know, and we use words like slut all the time and we love it and we embrace it and really welcome like the reclaiming of that. When I heard that, I was like, this is the person I can finally ask the questions that I have too. And
sluts belong. Just, you know, ask some of our slutty pastors, you know, clearly sluts belong. Mm-hmm. How many sexual controversies have we had around our religious leaders? Mm-hmm. How many fingers do we have to run out of for those who, you know, whose affairs become amassed around the church? And it's really not fair to them, because unfortunately our religious leaders, they are not entitled to their sexuality.
Mm.
They don't get to have a sexuality. They just, like, you know, keep it clean, keep it very linear, keep it very proper. And, you know, they you know, enjoy their blowjobs and their mask and their whips and their sadomasochism as much as anyone else. They enjoy their kink too. So not being able to be whole for the sake of your congregation is really not fair to religious leaders.
Where does this question stem from? This question of like, do sluts have a place in the church for yourself personally? Like what led you to this question? What led you to putting this out there to Bridie eventually seeing it? Like where does this stem from?
I think it stems from particularly in the Black church. There is just a lot of, in all churches overall, but in thinking as a Black woman about the sexual shame that is pervasive in the church, and how, ironically, how petty the church of all places can be, right? Mm-hmm. This is supposed to be a place where all people are welcome. But in our churches, you're not welcome without the proper pantyhose. You're not welcome without the big hat. You're not welcome with your sexuality. You're not welcome with cleavage. Because, you know, heaven forbid that you have a physique that entices your religious leader, because the problem is yours and not your religious leader. Right. Mm. And so I always took offense that everyone can point out the fast little girl in the church. Is she fast? Look at her. She's doing this. She's fast. But nobody seems to be able to point out the little girl that was molested.
Mm-hmm.
They can't point that little girl out. They can't point that little girl out that was sexually violated by a relative, by a father, by a babysitter. But they can quickly point out the fast little girls.
Mm.
It's so polarizing.
I had to ask that question. And then if you know, because God, as far as I understand, is promiscuous, right? If God is all loving to all people, there can be no entity more promiscuous than God.
With his love.
Well, that's love.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe you can bring us into the now with what you're, with what, because when we finally did connect on the phone and I kind of brought up what I had found online, you said this, that you have evolved and moved into the Institute for Emotional Literacy, which yes. is.
That was the other thing. Yeah. I love that. The Institute for Emotional Literacy. That was the thing that really sparked me yesterday. I went, ooh, this sounds mm-hmm. nice. I like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So can you bring us up to speed and let us know how you kind of got from libido talk into
I think this stems literacy. From as a sexual health educator, right now, you know, there are certain words that are very trendy right now, like, oh, your emotional health, your emotional intelligence, your EQ, you know, we need you to have a high EQ. But you have to actually even understand emotional literacy to understand your emotional intelligence. There, when we think of sexuality, we go straight to the physical. When there are, I don't know, 10,000 steps before you even get to the physical. So that emotional literacy addresses those 10,000 steps before you even get to the physical. You know, when we think about our kids and we're thinking about sex education, we're like, well, we don't want to teach them how to have sex. Yeah, but you're not even teaching them self-love, self-care. They're going through puberty. You're not addressing puberty. You're not addressing how their self-esteem evolves. So all of these steps, but that requires literacy. That requires an understanding of everything that unfolds before we actually engage physically. Mm. And there's so much in between that space and that range. And I felt that it was really necessary to be an organization that helps people unpack all of these entities before we even get to the physical.
Absolutely. What's your sort of like demographic? Are you teaching kids or are you more teaching parents or other educators who are talking to kids about this stuff?
It really varies because I consult for a lot of different organizations. I have group programs. I do international retreats because I love taking people out of America and then us like really honing in and focusing and getting away from the capitalism of the world and the isms of the world. And I take them away. And then it's like, oh, it's like now we can just plant our feet in the sand and just process and unpack some things without disruptions. There is no age demographic that my work does not touch. I love my geriatric communities. I love my baby communities. I love my millennial communities, my Gen Zers, those who have never even seen a TV commercial before. And then, you know, there's that population that is my age. I'm Generation X. I'll be 46. I'm in midlife. And so we're still uncovering. We're still unpacking. We're still like, oh, so what our parents actually taught us was pretty fucked up. And what does that mean for me now? You know, because we're evolving every moment we breathe is an evolution. It's a new thought. And we have so many thoughts going through our minds. So we're literally evolving. We're evolving just as we're on this platform right now.
What was your, like, I'm curious to know your history with like this interest in education through human sexuality. Like, how did this begin? What's your origin story?
It goes back to a lot of interesting experiences as a child, as a survivor of sexual violence as a child. Also, growing up with, I was brought up by my great grandmother, who was this fabulous single woman. She after she separated from my great grandfather, she lived this amazing unwed life, and she was just sexy and unbelievable and educated. And I just wanted to grow up and be great like her. She had a sway. She was just this beautiful, no matter what age, through her 60s, through her early 70s, I was just still like, oh, I rebel in this woman. I really rebel in her. And my mother, funny enough, was this ultra conservative. But the ultra conservative that still got with my father, who was a gigolo. Mm. So here I am watching these models as I'm evolving. My father, who was the ultimate woman's man, and double dating with my father, buying my father condoms, because I was like, please don't make no siblings. Please, we don't need siblings from you. Please. I know you're not going to put your penis away, but at least put on this condom. And I adore my father. He's what I call the shitty great of fathers. He's the shittiest, greatest father a child could have, right? And most parents are. They're shitty great. They do some things that are absolutely amazing, and they do some things that are absolutely shitty. And that is the sum of it all, and it's still beautiful, right? And so watching the sexuality of these particular three individuals through my life was certainly a motivator for a lot of the questions that I had as a kid. Going through high school, my last year of high school, four of my friends were killed in 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And three were a result of relationships gone awry. So I had a girlfriend, her boyfriend did not want her to go away to college, and he killed her. And okay. I had a lot of questions about that type of love. Mm. What makes someone say, I love you so much that you are a possession, that no one else can have you, that that I have to own you, that I can't function without you? What is that? And so as I evolved, my life took me on this journey that was only designed for me. Moving to New York, my first job was working at an AIDS hospice. And there was nothing like watching someone die to teach you how to live. I owe that to my clients, because then HIV was an actual death sentence. And so they taught me how to live. And from there, I went into domestic violence, and I managed a battered women's crisis shelter for 3 years. And again, I'm just on this journey that was only designed for me. And I started working part-time, because if you're a true New Yorker, you have at least three jobs, as I did. Yeah. And I was one of the first employees at the Museum of Sex in New York City. And I saw a young woman taking notes. And I'm like, why is she taking notes on this dildo? I just, what? Like, who's taking notes in this museum? And so I approached her because I was very curious. She had her pen and pad. You know, Bride, like we talked, we need our notes. And she told me that she was in graduate school. And I had no idea that there was actually a study specifically curated for this work. And I was like, you know, I've been doing this work for years. I didn't know that there was an actual field of study. Mm. And so I ended up learning about the school in Pennsylvania. It was one of the only accredited human sexuality programs in the country. Applied, went, and I have continued to do my work for over 20, 25 years now. And it's what I live to do. I live to educate and to heal.
Turn Me On Podcast. We'll be back after this short break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
In that journey of like of education, you know, when you started your studies, was there a portion of that learning that dived into the intersections between sexuality and spirituality, or was that something that you sort of was that a path that you sort of went down yourself just out of curiosity? Like that, because I feel like that's the really interesting piece here for me is how sexuality impacts spirituality. Because it's not often that you hear, maybe I'm wrong, but in my experience, it feels like that it's rare that we hear those two things combined in the same sort of topic, you know, and maybe that's a stereotype.
No, they've certainly been aligned through religion, not faith, but through religion to compete against one another.
Right. Yes.
They are not competitors. So yes. Shout out to Dr. Stanton, PhD in human sexuality and theology.
Because
there are those because there's different between, particularly in a Black church where so many pastors and religious leaders are appointed. All right, I choose you. You sound good. You move this audience, or this was passed down by your father, but right. They did not actually attend any type of theologian program. It's just that they were inspired. Right. And it's not to take away from that. However, there is some historical context that is unfairly missing from those practices. And so studying with Dr. Stanton, and we, you know, there were rabbis that would come to our class and we had to discuss, you know, Hebrew and the Bible and their original languages and how many translations there were and you know, how. You know, the concept, while there was homosexual behavior, the concept of homosexuality did not even exist until after the 15th century. So then when we start putting together the pieces of chronological history as to how it actually occurred and as to how this message is delivered, they're not aligned.
Yeah, right, right.
And so then you start to really unpack and ask, you know, some very serious questions about the messages that have been conveyed to us through oral tradition. And is that really so? And again, if God is all loving and a promiscuous God, and if all sins are created evil, why is this, there's this separation, this entity of, you know, I'm going to make it to heaven and you're not. Why? You know, why do we need to die to find happiness and sublimeness? Why can't we have our heaven here living? So there were a lot of questions. And from there, I became a board member for the Incarnation Institute for Sex and Faith. And we address sexual repression in the Christian church. Mm. And as there is so much of it, and in most of my clients, some of their biggest challenges and sexual health crises are because of religious misogyny or Christian misogyny. Mm. So I have to understand what's happening around the space of religion and sexuality, because it does impact us all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So maybe that brings us to the religious misogyny term that you were so curious about there, Jeremy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You ready to talk about that?
Yeah, let's do it. I mean, like it doesn't like the term religious misogyny. I have a really weird, not weird, but I didn't come up in the church. I mean, I did. I went to Sunday
Lucky
school.
Lucky you.
Yeah. Yeah. I went to Sunday school. I was baptized, but like, you know, when I was like 12 or 13, I think I just turned to my mom and I was like, I don't buy it. And I don't want to do it. And my mom was like, okay, like, I'm not going to force you, you know, I'm not going to force it on you. So I never really, you know, it was never something that spoke to me. It was never something that that I felt the need to kind of sink my teeth into growing up. And then I think I went through like a really weird phase of like just like hardcore atheism, and I just thought religion was like the dumbest thing ever. And then, you know, I'm 33 now. I've evolved. The world is nuanced, and there's, you know, religion is important. As troublesome and as problematic as religion has been in society, it has its place, and it's important, and it means a lot to a lot of people.
Well, is religion important, or is faith important?
Right. Yeah. There you go. Faith is important. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Because
exactly.
Religion, we don't actually need religion. Mm-hmm. But we all do want to have a type of inner motivation.
Sure. Yeah.
That we meditate to, that we pray on, you know, when there aren't those answers. Mm. So that's our faith, our spirituality. Spirituality is your faith-based journey that is solely yours. And religion is a faith-based journey that someone else created for you to follow.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So different people choose different paths. And I get it, because, you know, when we start unpacking the propaganda so many times that religion has created, it gets uncomfortable. So then you have to move into a faith that allows you the space to say, yes, no, this works for me. This affirms me. And there are things in religion that really are not affirming. Mm. Our intuition, which is God, is saying, no, this is not affirming. I'm not going to go in this direction.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's what your intuition is.
Yeah, totally. Right. Right. Yeah. Would you say that religion is inherently misogynistic? Like religion as an institution is, I mean, it's just like, sorry, say that again. I lost your audio there. For some reason I can't hear you now. Now I can. We got you now. Yeah.
Okay.
There we are.
I was saying, if we only refer to God in the masculine, absolutely.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm.
So if everything biologically is female before it is anything else, mm-hmm. why are we only referring to God in the masculine?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And man has designed it so that it is only referred to in the masculine. And we have to ask questions about why and what does that do? What does that create? You know, who are people required to follow then? Why are corporations, you know, 97% man led? If women are the make up 70% of the church in population, why do they make only 11% of the leadership?
Mm-hmm. Is this, how has, and I hope this isn't too personal of a question, but like, how has your sexuality impacted your spirituality on a personal level?
So they are akin, they are intertwined. They cannot be separated. God is in my every being. God is in my lovemaking. God is in my kisses. God is in my touch. You know, God is in my clitoris with my 8,000 nerve endings. God is in my soul, and my soul is love. So for me, how can it not be? Like people want to hug me because God is in me. That's touch. That's intimacy. That is my sexuality. So people are drawn to me because God is into me, and they may say, oh, you're sexy. But what they're really saying is God is in me, and I see it in you, and I'm drawn to it. So when we affirm our spirituality in a sex positive lens, because normally it's been sex negative. It's been like, God doesn't want you to do that. God doesn't want you, you know, classic, you should suffer through a marriage.
Yeah, yeah. Classic Catholic shame, you know, like
fear. Yeah. Yes. Fear. You know, just listen to man and stay there and just be quiet and shut your mouth and you'll get to heaven. Just stay there. It's like, who made this up?
Yeah, right.
these are not the pillars that my intuition, which is God, is telling me to live by. And after traveling around the world and learning about so many other religions, from Buddhism to Ifa to Santeria to so many other religions, and we have to remember that Christianity is still a very young religion, and there were religions long before Christianity that Christianity derived from. And I like those practices. I love saging. I like burning Armenian paper. It's just so much to receive and collect. We are ritualistic people. And there are some beautiful rituals that we can collect that affirm ourselves both spiritually and sexually. And I don't trust any God that doesn't like to be naked either. So it just
right. Yeah.
Has to be.
I mean, like hearing you say those words, like, you know, God is in my sexuality. God is in my clitoris. God is in my kisses. I fucking love that. Like, I love that. I can only imagine that you've received some pushback on those statements. Like, I can only imagine that, you know, those statements are for some people probably pretty controversial. Have you had any pushback on that stance and your belief in that?
Any stance that, because we know people that know their Bible verses, the Bible thumpers, the Bible sheepers, the sheeples, I call them the sheeples. So, you know, I don't need to battle you in verses to, like, because this is not a competition. You want to create divisiveness, and you want to create a hierarchy. And God has already said that they love us all. So I don't need to debate you on verses when, in fact, I can show you many verses that would affirm everything that I've said. That and don't get me wrong, because the Bible, if we looked at the Bible with sex positive eyes, the Bible is one of the juiciest books. it is a juicy, juicy, juicy book. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's murder. There are lesbian relationships. There are gay relationships. You know, there are sons running away from their fathers and their kings. Like, I mean, you know, like Thor and all of them don't have anything on the Bible. Like, there are some juicy, juicy stories in the Bible. And also, if you knew your Hebrew, here's what's really funny. The same word in Hebrew, when they say they washed Jesus' feet, the same word for feet in Hebrew is also the same word for genitalia. Now, if you replace those feet.
Oh, yeah.
With that genitalia. Come on, sister, because we know Jesus was around those prostitutes. Mm-hmm. Yes, like. This is a juicy Bible.
Yeah, yeah.
It can be sex affirming.
Yeah.
It can be positively affirming. It does not, it is not required to be fear-based. We have just always, in order to keep people in line, we use fear as opposed to joy and happiness. What is the worst that can happen if we all just made love to one another?
Mm-hmm. I love that. I think that's amazing. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead, Brad.
I just had this, like, I had this impulse to say my grandmother would be rolling in her grave, but right before she died a couple of years ago, I came out to her as being in an open relationship, and her response was just like, I don't know what to think about what you told me. That's what she said.
Yeah.
And I just think of her, I think of her in this moment, but I know that, you know, if she could have opened her mind at 85 to the concept of her granddaughter being in an open relationship, she could totally get behind God being in your lovemaking.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Yeah, totally.
Well, so let's look at her generationally. If you're saying that she's 85, so that from 2000, you said a few years ago, so in the mid to late 2000s, all the way back to 40s?
She would have been born in the 20s, I think.
1920s, okay, bad math, Frenchie. The 1920s, when women couldn't even have credit, when women, if they were married, couldn't own property, when women didn't have a voice, and you want her to understand coming from a generation where women did not make choices for themselves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's not that she does not want to receive you. Mm-hmm. It's that she was not brought up with the privilege to even be able to make those types of choices.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a little different if you look at it from, you know, the circles of time where women come through generationally and how we've been able to take some pieces and leave some pieces, take some pieces and leave some pieces in every generation. And that evolution and the strength and the power that we've gained, being able to take what strengthened us and leave behind what weakened us.
Mm. Yeah. And a lot of that is bringing it into even your consciousness, because so much of that is happening unconsciously. Intergenerational.
Yes.
Baggage.
But we have to remember the most common marriage during that time was a married man who cheated on his wife, right? There were duplicitous families throughout our family. You know, our papa always had, you know, another side family somewhere. They went off to war, and there was another family in the war, in World War II. And then there was the new family over here once they came back from the war. So these families, you know, whether we acknowledge what it was, those were still open relationships. That women just, you know, this is how it is, you know, just let a man be a man. This is what it is. And so we just didn't have the language back then. Like, I called my father a gigolo, but actually he is just simply polyamorous.
Right. Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah.
But I didn't, I didn't realize that he was polyamorous when I was 15 years old. I didn't have that language. I have that language now that I'm in my 40s.
Yeah. And he probably didn't have that language either. You know,
he
like,
certainly
yeah.
didn't, but yeah. he's still as much gigolo today as he was back then.
Yeah. I guess to kind of close this out, French, and you've probably already said it throughout the conversation, but for anyone who is listening to the show right now, who sort of battles with their battles with their own sexual identity up against their spirituality or their religion, what's like the one thing that you'd want them to hear, that you'd want them to know, that you'd want them to take away from this?
So much. Your self-love is already God. So, you know, whatever anti-love thoughts that you have in your spirit, forgive yourself. That is society's voice and not God's voice. Because you're here because God wants you. Everything that is here, everything we touch, everything is a molecule. It all exists because God says it's supposed to be here. You're supposed to be here. You can choose to listen to God and, you know, your inner self, which is your intuition, which is God, or you can choose to listen to society, which daily gets it wrong, which daily is trying to correct itself, which daily has new discoveries. I mean, look at CDC. Look how fast they flipped on everything, right? And that's in bioscience. It changes like that. So are we going to listen to something that is constantly changing when we know that God has not changed his love for us? It's the only constant there is, you and your love.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything else is just really confusing.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Just noise.
We have to close out the noises and the voices. Yep. And that's why I try to take people away on retreats, because the loud is just amplified here. It's just the negativity is just amplified here. And we have to take ourselves away from it to just remember, like, oh yeah. It's all here. Everything that you need, you already have it in you.
Well, Frenchie, I got to say, this has been really eye-opening and such a pleasure to get time to sit down and speak with you about the work that you do. On behalf of myself, Bridie, and all the listeners, thank you so much. This has been really, really fun.
Thank you. And please, if they look up the Incarnation Institute for Sex and Faith, there is Reverend Dr. Beverly Dale, another woman theologian, sexologist. Reverend Dr. Lisette Cross, another theologian, sexologist. You know, so we're moving in a sex positive way. We can read the Bible with sex positive eyes and be affirming in our sexual selves.
Thank you so much.
Thank you both for having me.
There you have it. That was our conversation with Frenchie. Oh, loved it. Loved it, loved it, loved it. And we have some killer, killer conversations coming up in the next few weeks. Can't wait for you to hear them. And yeah, I don't know. That's all I got. Stay safe out there, folks. Get your fucking vaccines. Yeah.
And get outside. Now that I don't know where in the world you are right now, but man.
Weather's changing.
Soak up the sun in safe and healthy ways and just remember what it's like to be an animal.
Do that for yourself.
That's my Just the Tips.
All right. Thanks for listening, folks. We love you. That is it for this week. And until next week,
go touch yourself.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.